Good to have you back. Let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. St. Marie Goretti, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A friend of mine, a young woman, was driving in a car in the back seat. In the front seat were a pair of grandparents, elderly couple. The grandma had severe Alzheimer's. After about 20 seconds of driving, she'd forget where they were going. She'd say to the husband, fearfully, well, where are we going? And the husband, you know, we're going wherever. And she, oh, okay. 20 seconds would pass, and she'd forget again. Where are we going? And the husband would kindly answer her. And this went on for about a half-hour car ride. And my friend in the back seat, she said, I'm not proud to admit I felt my sanity slipping, and she felt I wanted to get out of the moving vehicle. It was just crazy watching this happen. But she said every time the woman would forget where they're going, the husband would answer her as if it were the first time she asked, because he didn't want her to realize her mind was failing her. And as the years went on, her memory completely disappeared, and she had no notion who her husband was. Though they had been married for more than 50 years, and one day he was taking care of her when she was ill, and she looked at him and she said, you know, I don't know who you are, but you're the best. You can hear estrogen in the room right now. This responsive, ooh, that's it. That's how I want to be loved. And but people think, well, that's cute and all, but those are, you know, 70-year-old people that love, that romance isn't here today. I beg to differ. I found the following. It's an excerpt from the Journal of a Surgeon after he performed an operation on a young married woman. And the doctor said this. He said, I stand by the bed where a young woman lies. Her face is post-operative after his operation on her, and her mouth is twisted in palsy. It's clownish. A tiny twig of the facial nerve, the one to the muscles of her mouth, had been severed, and she will be thus from now on. To remove the tumor in her cheek, I had cut the little nerve. Her young husband is in the room. He stands on the opposite side of the bed, and together they seem to dwell in the evening lamplight, isolated from me in private. Who are they, I ask myself, he and this wry mouth I made, who gaze and touch each other so generously? The young woman speaks, will my mouth always be like this? Yes, I say it will, it's because the little nerve was cut, and she nods and is silent. But the young man smiles. He says, I like it. It's kind of cute. Unmindful, he bends to kiss her crooked mouth, and I'm so close I can see how he twists his own lips to accommodate hers to show her that their kiss still works. I hold my breath and let the wonder in. Finally, a man who loves his woman more than his own convenience. And you hear this. Something in you, whether you are a man or a woman, says, yeah, that's it. That's how I want to love a woman one day. That's how I want to be loved by a man one day. But the problem is we know the goal. How many of us know the means there? How do we get there from here? How do we get to that marriage 50 years from now? Love's stronger than death. I saw it in my other set of grandparents. My grandfather on the other side of my family passed away. I stood beside my grandma as we were burying him. And she said, Jason, you know I picked the color wood for your grandpa's casket. I know. And she said, that was the kind of wood on his fishing boat, and I thought he'd like that. I'm like, wow, man, you loved the man for more than 70 years. Now he's not even alive, and you're still wanting to make him happy. This love that's stronger than death, I believe, is not something that happens to people as a result of fate or destiny or coincidence. It happens to you. I believe we have to build the foundation. The choices we make every day today are charting the path for where we're going to end up 50 years from now. So I want to lay a foundation of top 10 tips you can do to date your soulmate. Because face it, as a guy, you want intimacy with the girl, but you want to be close to God. You want the Lord and you want the lady. The girl wants to be close to God, and she also wants to be close to the guy, but a lot of times it feels like you got to pick between the two. I think today I want to lay out the plan where you can have intimacy with both. And so top 10 things that I've come up with. One, begin with a season of friendship. This often doesn't happen. The whole idea of just masculine friendship. You know, you can be a friend to a girl without dating her is almost unknown nowadays. I was speaking at Catholic University of America up in D.C. a couple years ago, and there were about 400 college students there. This is probably 8 or 9 years ago. And I said, okay, you know, I'd like you to give to me the name of the last movie that you saw that portrayed masculine friendship. You know, a guy can be a friend to a girl without implying anything sexual. 400 college students couldn't think of one movie. One guy put his hand up and he said, oh, I know, Finding Nemo. And I'm like, okay, you got me. Okay, you know,
but they're fish. It doesn't count. It's a cartoon. I know we're in Disney World right now, but it doesn't count. But this whole concept, to understand the best beginning of a relationship is not to run into it, but to actually pull back from it.